No. So we're going to agenda one now. Chairman's notices, you'll find those on the back of the agenda. Agenda item two, apologies for absence, please.
Apologies received from Councillor Sismi, Councillor Dobson, Councillor Savage is substituting for Councillor Sismi, and Councillor Mrs. Thompson is substituting for Councillor Dobson.
Wow. Yeah, and just members, if anybody's waiting for any additional green papers, and I would just bring to your attention that there are two items of urgent business which the chairman of the committee has agreed to take this evening. They are agenda items, I think 10A and 10B. They are both green papers, so they are not for the public, but we'll deal with those when we get there. Agenda item three, minutes of the last meeting, which you will find on pages 5 to 90. Members? Councillor Elliott.
Point of order, Chairman. 10A and 10B will mean that they are being heard before the exclusion of the public.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for pointing that out to me, Councillor Elliott. They're actually, on the order paper, they're shown as 10A and 10B, and with your permission, when we get to that stage in the agenda, then we'll deal with them accordingly, and then they'll move on into the private and confidential session. So if we can go back to agenda item three, the minutes of the last meeting. Councillor Lewis?
Thank you. Was there not also a 10C that might get moved? I was told that there could be a discussion. The chairman has spoken to me about the boat at Burnham. I think the chairman was expecting that to be discussed too.
The director has confirmed that that is not on the agenda this evening. So can we, for the third time...
If that's the case, then please could somebody let Councillor Sismi know, because he expressly told me that he was going to be on the agenda.
The director has spoken to him, and he's fully aware of the situation. And it is a very, very... I know. It's a very fluid situation. So for the third time, we'll go back to agenda three. Minutes of the last meeting, please. Are they agreed?
Agreed,
thank you. Item four, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the code of conduct for members. And I also remind you that you are required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware, should the need arise throughout the meeting. Members? In relation to agenda item 10A, and in the interest of openness and transparency, I will declare that I know as an acquaintance Mr. Tim Howard. Are there any other disclosures? Thank you. Agenda item 5, public participation. There is none. Agenda item 6, the level 1 business plan. This is only for the Resources Directorate that we're considering tonight, and you'll find that on pages 91 to 112. Ms. Foy.
Thank you. So page 91 shows the covering report for the Resources Level 1 Business Plan. There's a recommendation that the business plan be agreed. The actual business plan starts on page 95. It details the key activities for the year, being the ICT strategy, the transformation programme, elections preparation, member induction and the corporate plan, incorporating the MTFS as well. We also include the risk register and the key activities. The four key corporate risks included in the risk register are around data protection, the inefficient committee structure, recruitment of staff and delivering a balanced medium-term budget. Take any questions.
Thank you very much. Members, the recommendation is to agree. Thank you very much. Agenda item 7, corporate health and safety, which you will find on pages 113 to 150. Ms. Foy.
Thank you. So, agenda item 7, corporate health and safety report in the last quarter is detailed on page 113. There have been no near misses and two accidents. One was a member of staff bruised their hand when stacking street name signs, and the other was a member of staff fractured their foot while exiting the building. The exit where the tarmac is on the exit has been reviewed, no concerns raised as a result, and training has been provided to the parks team in terms of stacking and lifting signs. In addition to that, we also have both the update on the 17-18 health and safety plan and also a proposed 18-19 plan to the next Finance and Corporate Services Committee, where all the annual reports are coming. Will a detailed health and safety report come with all the boxes detailing the near misses and accidents across the whole year?
Councillor Shrimpton.
Could I ask, Mr. Chairman, when it says under 3.1, a member of staff fractured their foot, does that mean fracture equals broken bone?
Yes. Right.
Okay, thank you.
I think Councillor Savage was next, but we'll come to you.
Thank you, Chairman. I realise that I'm new to this committee, but it's basically on page 117, health and safety arrangements. Now, I know that on the fourth bullet point, the Health and Safety Committee and bomb and terrorism procedures once the police had moved in. But there's recently been an incident in Prom Park where the police were called, and it appears that the vigilante group who operate outside the Shire County of Essex are coming here to settle their legal differences in Prom Park. Now, this came to my attention as a town councillor because the rangers, no, they're not rangers, are they? The support officers come and report to us, and they reported that incident, and I asked them to go back to the police and have a go at this vigilante group and tell them to settle their legal differences elsewhere. I'm quite happy to mention it, but only on green papers, because I'm not sure the court case has finished yet. I noticed that the Prom Park and the other buildings, although may be employed, I feel ought to be listed as to what we are doing. And it is quite a very serious incident. The minimum sentence is going to be custodial.
You're absolutely right. This is the corporate health and safety plan, and it should extend across the district wherever officers are involved. But I mean, the information that you've just imparted is very good intelligence, and I think maybe this is something that if they're not aware, the police should be, and Mr. Clark, Community Safety Partnership Manager, should be aware of this. But I'll let Ms. Foy come back just on the corporate point.
So on the corporate point, it's not listed in here, so I will speak to Mr. Rayner just to make sure that there's nothing that's missing from here that should be. And then in terms of a specific terrorism or counter-terrorism arrangements of what we need to do on that, I'll make sure that it's a specific item on the next Health and Safety Committee meeting.
I mean, if this group can do it, then so can someone with even more willingness to cause disruption. Yeah, and the prom on a Sunday is very popular.
Yeah, I think the director's taken that on board. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. If I could take you back to page 113, it was the 3.1, the member of staff bruised their hand when street name plates fell. We are told further along that part of what's required for our staff is manual handling. I presume that's the manual handling certificate.
Yes.
The member of staff that had the problem, were they a member of staff that had manual handling? Are all our manual handling certificates up to date? And how do we monitor these sort of industry type certificates to make sure that they're always kept current?
So yes, I think it's an annual manual handling session that's done, and it's done with it's quite a big session with all the different staff which it affects, and then that's updated on the by Miss Darby as part of the corporate learning database. In terms of this individual, I will find out that they definitely had had their training, but it is part of the general induction for those people in those areas, and it is refreshed regularly. So they should have done. Yeah.
I think Councillor Lewis makes a good point, and we both have a connection with the construction industry, and I'm sure that Councillor Lewis would agree with me that it's not right and proper to ask anybody to do anything that they haven't been trained for. So in this particular instance, I think the question was were they trained to do this chore before they took it on, and were they made aware of the risks? I think that's the message that you need mm-hmm. to take back to make sure, because if it's a very serious accident and it's a reportable accident to the HSE, then we could find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Any other members? Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's quite exceptional that an organisation of this size has only had two incidents in this period, so I think the job is being done. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? I think there's three recommendations.
Yes.
To review and comment we've done, to review and comment upon the progress that we've done, and to approve the draft health and safety action plan for 2018-19. Is that all agreed? Yeah. Lovely. Thank you very much. We move on to agenda item 8, which is the human resources policies and procedures, which you will find on page 123.
Yeah. Thank you. So agenda item 8, the equality and diversity policy, page 123 for the covering report and the policies to follow. This is a new policy confirming our commitment to equal opportunities and is in place to also avoid any unlawful discrimination. We've also included the Equality Act 2010 guidance as well, and Appendix 1 also shows the changes in policies where they've been updated. Make that slightly bigger so I can read it. Okay.
Happy
to take any questions.
Members, any questions? I agree with you. The policies and procedures, they're all there. So the first recommendation is to the report unnoted, so we're going to note these, which I think is contrary to what Council's decided.
It's just an equality, it's because it's an equality policy, it's a legal requirement.
So that's quite interesting. So maybe we need to make an amendment to say that when we've got a legal requirement to note a report, then it should come to the committee to say, yeah, that's a good point, got that. So we've noted, and then Councillor Lewis.
It was just a thought. If it's a legal requirement for us to note it, as councillors, we wouldn't necessarily know what we were noting unless the same training was offered to councillors. Is there any intention to offer the equality and diversity training to councillors?
Well, I think that would be a very good training session, not only to incorporate within the new member induction, which we have as a key corporate indicator to be able to produce during this financial year, but also to offer refresher training as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Councillor Lewis. So I think if we can make a note of that, then we ensure that goes into the induction training, which is open to all members from 2019. And the second recommendation, members, is a recommendation to Council that we approve the policy. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Right, thank you very much. We'll now go on to agenda item 9, which is the supplementary estimates, environments and use of reserves for the period 1st of February to the 21st of March, which you will find on pages 151 to 154.
Thank you, Chair. So this supplementary estimate environment concerns one item, which is our independent treasury advice contract. We went out to tender. We only received one response on that, so therefore a procurement exemption being necessary. The second element is due to some changes in market requirements under MiFID, the the price of that advice has risen significantly. We have done some benchmarking, and it is the same across all local authorities who have tendered for this year going forwards, and we are also in line with Rochford District Council, Chelmsford City Council, and Braintree District Council as well in terms of the prices that we're paying.
Members, any questions? Councillor Lewis.
Is there any opportunity of having some economy of scale? If all those councillors, all those councils are requiring the same product or service, is there any way that we could perhaps get a bit of value for bulk?
Well,
yes.
I think probably what we're talking about is a discount for the multiple, because I suspect the report that they do for these other councils is exactly the same as us.
Yes, the standard template.
I mean, I did sort of query with the director before the meeting, you know, exactly what we got, and it might be an idea to just explain what we get for this, what is a huge sum of money in my mind.
So it's they provide the templates and all of the reviewing for the financial instrument extracts and budgetary extracts for the prudential indicators and for the financial statements, anything to do with treasury management. So that's one thing that they provide. The other thing that they provide is sort of the rating service, where they provide weekly updates in terms of what the credit ratings are for the different institutions. They also, we can also, if we want to, and it may be that we move into that, do short-term borrowing and lending through them, for example, with other local authorities. They offer that service, and they're setting up a platform at the moment to make it much easier to do inter-public sector borrowing through that. They offer member training sessions, and that's something that we can do again, definitely. There are two officer workshop training sessions per year as well. In respect of the bulk buying, it has been agreed that Essex Finance Officers, at its meeting next Thursday, will all look to try and align the time period of the contracts and also let an overall framework contract, which hopefully should reduce the price across us all. So it's on the agenda.
Thank you.
So that's good. And I think that maybe, Madam Director, we need to have a look at 3.1.1, mm-hmm. bullet 1, 2, 3. And you'll see there that sums between 20 and 50,000, the decision is the Director of Resources in consultation with the relevant Standing Committee Chairman, and then reported to the next Finance Court. So we need to just tidy that up as well to ensure, you know, I'm not sure. This is almost for noting, but it's to satisfy this requirement.
Yes, it is.
So we just need to clarify that as well. Members, any other questions? So if we can go to the recommendations. They're both actually to note, so is that agreed?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, agenda item 10, members. This is where we're getting a little bit tied up. Agenda item 10 is any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent. Now, Councillor Sismi has agreed that there are two items. They should be, the papers should be tabled in front of you. You will note that they are both on green paper. And I would propose, therefore, that we take them after item 11. Is that seconded?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Thank you very much. And that's seconded by Councillor Elliott. So I propose now that we go to agenda 11, and that is to resolve that under section 100A, brackets 4, close brackets, of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1 and 3 of Part 1 of the Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Is that seconded? That's Councillor Thompson. Okay, we'll now go into Part